Good morning. We will call this session to order. Thank you very much. And we will begin with a roll call. And I believe we do have at least one member online this morning.
All right. Good morning. Commissioner Bochco. Commissioner Escalante. Commissioner Hart.
Here.
Commissioner Jackson.
Here.
Commissioner Kelly.
Here.
Commissioner Lopez. Actually, I'm on the wrong sheet. I didn't have the... let me just start over. Commissioner Dumlau.
Here.
Commissioner Eckerly.
Here.
Commissioner Hart.
It got me twice, but I'm still here.
Yeah, I went back. I went back.
Oh, I see. No problem.
Commissioner Jackson.
Here.
Commissioner Kelly.
Here.
Commissioner Loewenberg.
Here.
Commissioner Nothoff.
Here.
Commissioner Preciado.
Here.
Commissioner Turnbull Sanders.
Here.
Commissioner Williams.
Here.
Commissioner Wilson.
Presente.
Chair Harmon.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Now we'll move to the virtual meeting procedures, please.
Good morning. This Coastal Commission meeting is occurring both in person and through Zoom. This meeting is also being webcast and can be viewed online at cal-span.org. If you have internet access to and wish to watch or listen to the meeting only and not speak on an item, we recommend you use the CalSpan website. Those who wish to address the commission today can do so in person through the Zoom platform or by phone. The speaker request form may be found on the commission webpage. Paper forms and a scannable QR code for paperless submittals are available on the commission staff table just outside the meeting room. For those on Zoom, we have posted virtual hearing procedures on the Commission Agenda webpage, which is a guide on providing comments via Zoom or by phone. Members of the public speaking during general public comments may be given up to 2 minutes to speak at the discretion of the chair. Requests to speak during the general public comment period will not be accepted after 9 a.m. on each day of the meeting. In order to provide the opportunity for the broadest range of public participation, you may speak on a specific topic one time only each month. Those speaking on an agenda item that is not general public comment are typically allowed 2 to 3 minutes to speak at the discretion of the chair. We will accept a request to speak on a regular agenda item up until the chair opens the hearing on that particular item. If you have internet access, please go to the commission's webpage and click on the link to fill out a speaker request. If you do not have internet access or prefer to testify by phone, please call the commission staff at 562-477-9089. Again, that number is 562-477-9089. Staff will provide you with a telephone call-in number and instructions for how to participate and provide testimony by phone. We will manage speakers coming in and out of the meeting through the meeting organizer. When it is your time to address the commission, the organizer will invite you to turn on your video and microphone or provide instructions on how to unmute the phone. Madam Chair, that concludes the virtual hearing procedures.
Thank you, Simone. Now I will turn it to Chief Counsel for a report out from closed session yesterday.
Thank you, Chair Harmon. The commission met in closed session and it received litigation information and advice and took action on the following cases: City of Fort Bragg versus Mendocino Railway and Defend Biona Wetlands versus California Coastal Commission. It also received litigation information and advice on the following cases: Friends of Oceana Dunes versus California Coastal Commission et al. And Friends of Oceana Dunes versus California Department of Parks and Recreation et al. And finally, Space Exploration Technologies Corp. versus California Coastal Commission. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Ms. Warren. Now we'll move to agenda changes.
Good morning, Chair Harmon and Commissioners. We have three changes to today's agenda.
First, item 9A, the LCP amendment for Humboldt County's sign ordinance is moved to consent. Item 10A, the application by Resource Environmental Solutions in Mendocino County is postponed. And last, item 11A, the Lucerne Arboring application in Cayucas was withdrawn. And that concludes our agenda changes for today.
Great, thank you very much. Now we will move to general public comment, please.
Perfect. For members of the public, I'll be announcing the names of the upcoming speakers and invite you to speak when it's your turn. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes during general public comments at the discretion of the chair. In order to allow for live video testimony on Zoom, we will be bringing you in as a panelist. As we bring you in, your Zoom will reload. This may take a moment. To speed up this process, we will bring several people in at a time. But please remain muted and keep your video off until we ask you to speak. After your time is up, you will be moved back to attendee mode. For the members of the public present in the room, I will call your name in the order that they appear on our sign-up list. When you hear your name, please line up behind the podium and introduce yourself when you approach to speak. There is a raise hand function that will help us find you in the attendee list. If you are using a phone for audio, you can raise your hand by dialing *9. If you are participating by Zoom, you should see a button on your Zoom screen. If you have signed up to speak for this item and are able to do so, please raise your hand now. When it is your time to speak, we will invite you to unmute and turn on your camera. You can unmute yourself on a phone by dialing *6. First up, we have 21 speakers in person. First up is Bonnie Ernest, followed by Lucia Casalenuevo, followed by Charles Varney, followed by L. Jane Swanson.
Good morning, commissioners and staff. Happy Friday. My name is Bonnie Ernst. I'm from Oceano, California. I'm here to speak about the Oceano Airport, L-52. L-52 sits squarely in the heart of our coastal land. It's fenced, fully fenced, with a no trespassing policy. The surrounding airport land use restrictions affect all of Oceano. And in December 2023, Slo County Airports came before the commission seeking approval for multiple projects that included a private campground, a new pilot's lounge, and they assured you that an update was funded and in the works, a master plan update. This commission, with its deep understanding of the community impact, directed them to first address the existing environmental and economic injustice problems associated with the airport. This commission suggested they do an independent land use study and vision plan. Now, nearly 3 years later, Slo Airports has done nothing to meet those demands or concerns. What they have done is repair Hangar 1, install more opaque fencing, and request bids for runway, taxiway, and apron resurfacing. What we expect in the future is a drip, drip, drip of small projects, all labeled maintenance, enabling them to do an end run around the Coastal Commission. Promises of L-52 being a major asset to our community are smoke and mirrors. In my travels, which I've had a chance to do recently, I've gone to a lot of places that have wetlands and parks and playgrounds and walkways and bikeways, and I keep wondering, why not Oceano? Why not in my town? And why are we under the thumb of high-end recreation to just a very few? I hope you get to see the airport. If you do, just don't park in that parking lot because it's private.
Next is Lucia Casalenuevo, followed by Charles Varney, followed by L. Jane Swanson.
Good Good morning, everyone. Oceano Beach Community Association, Lucia Casalinuovo. I'm here to expand on a comment on a question made by Commissioner Nothoff on the LCP of the San Luis Obispo County in regard with the ODSV array. I'm not going to talk about the ODSV array. And the answer given by our by the executive director. You asked, and actually you said, that the ball now is in the county's court. Well, of course it is. It has always been, but the county hasn't taken any responsibility for the last 40 years. So, but in reality, it is up to you now to recommend to the county that it does change the LCP. You cannot change the LCP, of course, and in that she was right. However, the court said directly, and I'm going to read, and I wrote it on your flyer over there, in this situation, it's verbatim from the judge, the commission's remedy is to submit recommendations of corrective actions so that it should be taken to the local government, that's the county, and thereafter, if necessary, to the legislature. So that means that right now you have the power and the responsibility, because you are the one who led the process so far, so you should agendize as soon as possible that you write a letter of recommendation to the county that our LCP is not in conformity with your new findings and with the Coastal Act, and that they should take corrective actions. Please do not wait for the county to start the process. They never will. We did a talk to the supervisors, and they have no intention of doing anything, just they haven't done anything for the last 40 years. Please keep the fight on. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Charles Barney, followed by L. Jane Swanson, followed by Jill Zamek, followed by Kate Christensen, followed by Joe Gusley.
And if I could just briefly remind you, when you hear your name called, if you could please start to line up, that way we'll be able to move more quickly. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you. Good morning. Charles Varney, Oceano, past president of the Oceano Advisory Council and past president and director of the Oceano Community Services District. I'm here to speak about the Oceano Airport, which is simply a playground for private pilots. It houses about a dozen hangars, and I think there's maybe one person from Oceano that has one of those hangars. It dominates 80 acres of prime coastal land, and it contributes literally nothing to the local economy. It has no fixed-based operations. The private pilots and the county airport promote it as a major driver of economic development in Oceano, with new high-tech development coming in, glamping for private pilots, and critical emergency services. In fact, all of these are myths. They're just rationalizations and justifications to keep the private pilot playground at taking up the land resources of Oceano. The attempt to put more lipstick and better wigs on this pig of an airport, just it's always going to be a playground. But Ms. Ernst, I think, spoke well to the directives that you have given in the past, the direction that you've asked them to go, the plan that you expect from them. They're addressing economic and environmental justice issues and impacts of the airport on the community. And I would encourage you the next time that they come in to hold their feet to the fire. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Jimmy Paulding, followed by L. Jane Swanson, followed by Jill Zamek.
Thank you, Supervisor. Come on up. Apologies for not calling you first.
No worries. Good morning. Yeah, good morning, commissioners. Nice to see you here. I'm Jimmy Paulding. I serve as the 4th District Representative on the Board of Supervisors, so I represent the South County region. Welcome to San Luis Obispo County. Hope you had a good couple evenings and enjoyed our good weather, wine, and food. So today I came to speak actually about the Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant. I know it's not on your agenda, but just wanted to give you my feedback. I've been on the board for 2.5 years. I grew up here. I love this community. Diablo Canyon has always been one of those questions in our mind. As a local resident, as a community member, I too am concerned about making sure that that is a safe plant to operate, that it can be done in an environmentally responsible way. And I know that your commission has had some concerns about that in the past. What I want to urge today is just for you to keep an open mind as to the necessity of that plant and the power that it provides for our state of California, almost 9% of our grid. The fact that when we look at any public policy matter, obviously public safety comes first. That's always been my priority. There was a recent report by the NRC that really looked at its safety and made a safety determination that it would be safe to continue operation beyond 2030. And then there's the independent safety panel, and they do a ton of analysis. I've recently gone through some of their reports, and things are looking pretty good. So I just want you to hopefully keep an open mind, because you will be a key decision maker in that matrix in the future. I certainly am supportive of seeing us go past 2030 and think that, again, we can do that in a responsible way, not only for the economic reason of it's good for our local economy and jobs and all that, but for the necessity of that power that we need. And I think we can do it, again, in an environmentally responsible manner. While I've got you, I want to speak a little bit to the Oceano Airport and hopefully the ODSVRA. You know, on the Oceano Airport, I know the folks. Oh, that's it. Okay. I'll come back at another time. Thank you so much.
Button got unpushed. Okay. There I am. Okay. Jane Swanson, San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace. My topic is also Diablo Canyon. This commission has an opportunity to fulfill its mission, and I quote, to protect and enhance California's coast and ocean for present and future generations, unquote. I urge this commission to take into account PG&E's inconsistency in applying to the Coastal Commission for permits to operate for 5 years until 2030. This period of time is endorsed by California's Senate Bill 846. But simultaneously, PG&E is also applying to the NRC for an additional 20 years until 2045. Any additional years of operation would add to the amount of high-level radioactive waste sitting there with nowhere to go, and increasing the risks to all living beings downwind. Multiple earthquake faults, including a thrust fault directly under the plant, let me know if you want the video of that discussion at the Independent Safety Committee. So, with a thrust fault directly under the plant, these present substantial risks. While PG&E claims that the plant and its spent fuel pools could withstand any earthquakes that might occur, the reality is that neither the timing nor the magnitude of earthquakes can be predicted, and the stakes are extremely high. A major radiation release would make this land uninhabitable for 3 generations, and there is no insurance coverage that would meaningfully compensate the owners of the homes, businesses, or agricultural land. I'm asking this commission to set its priority on the health and safety of the residents of California, not the profits of PG&E.
Thank you. Next is Jill Zamek, followed by Kay Christensen, followed by Joe Gustily.
Hello, I'm Jill Zamek. I live in Arroyo Grande, downwind from dirty and dangerous Diablo Canyon. I understand that Unit 1's consistency certification and coastal development permits have expired, and that Unit 2's will expire next month. Although Senate Bill 846 provides for a 5-year extension of this nuclear plant, PG&E has applied for a 20-year license renewal. Those extra 15 years make a profound and very risky difference. Construction began in 1968. It didn't receive its low-power license until 1984. This is a very old facility. Compounding the aging components and equipment, it sits on a multitude of active earthquake faults. Its once-through cooling system continues to harm the marine life in the surrounding area due to impingement, entrainment, and thermal pollution. Multiple waivers have been given to PG&E, but if they intend to continue operation for another 20 years, it must be required to install cooling towers. I'm here before you to insist that PG&E provide a thorough analysis of these environmental risks and impacts, and that a hearing be held on these issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate Christensen, followed by Joe Gusley, followed by David Brown.
Hi, good morning. Nice day three, nice foggy morning out there. My name is Kate Christensen, and I'd like to congratulate Chair Harmon. So nice to have you from the Central Coast, and all of you and all of your amazing work. So I'm going to say three things about the dunes and the beach in Oceano. Your decision, number one, your decision back in 2021 was absolutely the correct decision. It was courageous. You know, it really was a vision for the future. It was the right decision. Thank you for that. And the closure in 2020 for 7 months, you know, that allowed us to actually, you know, actually see the vision of what Oceano could be, what the beach could be, what a new economic future could be. And it was so real, just vividly real. I can see it and I could say it right now. But one thing that was amazing, I saw a sand dollar like crawl. I didn't know that they would do that. They crawl on the beach and, you know, kite surfers with seagulls dropping. The seagulls were dropping the clams to break them open. Clams on the beach. It was amazing. Families. Anyway, number three is that now we have to continue. We have the vision. You know, you've made a courageous decision, and just being here for a few minutes, you know, your work over 50 years is just, you know, phenomenal, so necessary and so important. And we will keep going. That vision is real, and it will become, and there is a way. I have been in a dune buggy. I have camped on the beach, and, you know, it's wonderful. But thank you for your work, and we will work hard to make this real. Thank you. Thank you all.
Joe Gusley, followed by David Brown, followed by Greg Haskin, then Linda Reynolds. Turn your mic, hit the base of it.
Oh, okay. There it is. Okay. Thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity to speak. My name is Joe Gustley. I'm a Nipomo resident living not 2 miles from Phillips 66 property. I'm also retired RN, and I still value my training in health risk prevention, and I practice that myself. My subject is that I oppose creating another entry for the ODS VRA into a yet-to-be rehabilitated area of an oil refinery. I do not believe it is right to increase access for a dangerous pastime. The Slow Tribune documented over 46 deaths from dune riding within only the past 33 years. That does not even include the dozens of injuries every single year from that sport. Why encourage more by allowing another entry into the free-for-all sand landscape of the dunes? Promising a southern entrance route now would be premature. The county of San Luis Obispo has yet to weigh in on the best uses for the 1,600-acre site. The county has described future uses such as a regional park with hiking trails, camping, and beach access. It would be unfair to give state parks their southern access now. And finally, if this access route were permitted, the noise, even more airborne dust, would be a nuisance for thousands of my South County neighbors. We would protest this. Please consider voting against State Park's plan. It's very important to mitigate nuisances. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Director Harmon and Commissioners. I'm David Brown. I'm the present mayor of Solvang. Came all the way down to visit you and give up my able skivers this morning. I wanted to talk to you, well, first of all, as I appreciate all of you and 3 days of meetings is above and beyond the call of duty, in my opinion. I'm empathetic for all the meetings that you have to attend. And I also am reminded of Will Rogers and his wisdom. Never miss a good opportunity to shut up. So I'll be quick. I'm here on behalf, but I want to advocate for PG&E and Diablo Canyon. I've been to their facility a number of times, and I find that their strategic usefulness and ability to produce clean energy on our Central Coast is phenomenal. Having been there, I see their efforts for biological, marine biology and the like, and the advancements they've actually contributed to working with UCSB and Cal Poly in a number of fashions that way. They're a responsible advocate and social partner in what we do and for the energy demands that we have in California and for our nation. So with that, I'd like to let you know that we appreciate them as a partner and would like to see their continuation in the energy production here on the Central Coast. Thank you.
Now do we have it? Thanks. Good. My name is Greg Haskin. I'm the executive director of CoLab Slow. CoLab Slow is a 501c6 nonprofit organization representing a coalition of labor, agriculture, and business throughout San Luis Obispo County. We're here today to strongly endorse a 20-year operating permit for the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. Aside from the obvious need for a clean, reliable source supporting our sometimes insufficient state electrical grid, the power plant plays a key role in the economics of our residents in San Luis Obispo County. As the largest private employer in the county, PG&E contributes to the well-being not only of over 1,500 employees and their families, but the many local services and products that those families depend on. These are well-paid jobs, and without a long-term future, many of those will begin to drift off to more stable employment. In 5 years, without the long-term permit, they will either be unemployed, displacing other job seekers, or gone. The plant pays an estimated $43 million in personal and corporate income taxes to the federal government and about the same amount to Social Security. It pays almost $9 million to local school districts and about $8 million to the county in taxes. These are significant funds to a community struggling to keep the local economy strong enough to pay its bills. Further, PG&E has a robust and much appreciated presence throughout our community in terms of support and participation for nonprofits and service providers. The investment made in the plant and its infrastructure should not be dismissed. The cost of building enough generation to replace Diablo Canyon is astronomical, and the time required to do so would present enormous challenges to our grid. thank you for your time, and we hope you have an open mind with Diablo Canyon.
Linda Reynolds, followed by Rachel Toti, followed by John Giuseppe, or Gilseppe.
Good morning. My name is Linda Reynolds, and I live on the Mesa in the South County. First of all, I want to thank you again, like everybody else has, for all your time and efforts and to listening to the public on issues here in our county. First, I want to address the recent April 2nd, 2025 letter from the Off-Highway Vehicle Commission asking for a southern entrance for the OHV park. All this does is move an existing problem south. Where is the environmental justice for the residents of the Mesa and Guadalupe for such a move? This would be subjecting farm workers, which we have a lot of folks around us, around our community in the Napomo area, contractors who work outside, and the school children who like to play outside, to a poor air quality, which we live with a good part of the time in Napomo. Sometimes the air is the worst in the nation. So I volunteer in Guadalupe at the Boys and Girls Club. When you go down there, it's off 11th Street. You're right at a different, you're right there near the dunes. And when that wind comes up, which it does just about every day, it's going to be a direct hit for children or people that are outside if this OHV park was moved to a southern entrance. Again, the proposal is definitely environmentally injustice and exasperating a serious issue we have already. Thank you for your time again, and thank you for serving our state of California.
Good morning, Rochelle Toti, also Napomo Mesa resident. I'm speaking this morning in response to a commissioner question that happened on Wednesday after the public comment period. At the end of public comment on Wednesday, a commissioner asked a question about overdue annual reviews at the Oceano Dunes SVRA. By the way, I've passed out, or you should have my talking points here. The answer given was that the annual review was part of the 2021 Coastal Commission decision that had been vacated. However, the annual review was also part of the 1982 Coastal Development Plan, which is still in effect, and I've highlighted the paragraph, so quick reading. The Coastal Commission has a second review responsibility to review every certified LCP at least every 5 years to determine whether the program is being implemented in conformity with Coastal Act policies. I do not know if that has been done in the case of the San Luis Obispo County LCP, but I suggest it be done if it hasn't been done. And that would tie in with the making of recommendations to the county. If the LCP is not carried out in conformity with any policy of the Coastal Act, the commission can submit recommendations of corrective action, which we've spoken about before. I hope that the staff will be able to proceed on these reviews in the near future. Thank you so much for your time and efforts.
Thank you. Next is John Gillespie, followed by Jeff Chambers, followed by Brenda Ayers.
Ours. That's it.
Ours. All right. Good job. All right. Thank you.
Hello. My name is John Gillespie. I love the ocean. I've been fishing for 30 years. And educated in oceanography, sociology, and I'm speaking in rebuttal to almost all the claims I hear of the offshore wind benefits. Their proposal of an ultimate build-out into all the primary production zones on the coast of California, Oregon, and Washington, it'll interfere with the an ocean ecosystem that is pretty pristine, and industrializing the ocean is, I find, an incompatible move for the nature of our regions, coastal regions. That's an emotional subject. The thought of encountering these industrialization moves and the effect on the ecosystem, the culture of mammals, and all the other animals that live out there. I've roamed this coast of Northern America from Mexico to Alaska, and it's kind of a heartbreaker. It's like I saw yesterday, they're saying the seals are dying in La Jolla Cove from overexposure to people. It's much like that for the cultures of the ocean, the whales. They'll probably move on if they survive. Thank you very much for being here, and hope we can do something about it. Okay.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for holding this meeting here on the Central Coast and giving us an opportunity to speak on such critical issues for our region and state. My name is Jeff Chambers, and I serve as the CEO of the South County Chambers of Commerce, representing over 500 businesses and thousands of employees throughout San Luis Obispo County. I'm here today to voice our strong support for the continued operation of Diablo Canyon Power Plant through 2030 and beyond. Diablo Canyon is not only a cornerstone of our local economy, providing over 1,300 high-quality jobs and significant regional economic activity during routine refueling outages, it is also essential to California's clean energy future. As the largest clean energy producer in the state, supplying approximately 17% of California's carbon-free electricity, this output cannot currently be replaced by existing renewable resources. As business leaders, we are deeply concerned about the energy reliability and affordability. Diablo Canyon's 24/7 power helps ensure grid stability, especially during peak summer months, and prevents costly blackouts that can severely impact small businesses and essential services. Keeping the plant online is projected to save California ratepayers over $500 million annually, while helping the state avoid millions of tons of greenhouse gas emissions. California's climate goals are ambitious, and rightly so. But achieving them requires a balanced approach. Extending Diablo Canyon's operations gives us the time and stability needed to responsibly bring more renewables online without jeopardizing affordability, reliability, or economic growth. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Brenda Ayers, followed by Kathy DePerry, followed by Debbie Highfield, followed by Sean Pringle.
Good morning, Commission, and everyone involved here today. Welcome to the Central Coast. I pray that you all had an opportunity to get to go and see the whales. I fish out here. It's National Geo. We are blessed. I pray of you, before you make decisions about our Central Coast, please visit our area. If you need a tour guide, I offer my services. I'm the owner broker of Our Real Estate, and I've lived on the Central Coast now for 25 years. Please visit Oceano. The airport, Pier Avenue, that not all of you, but a lot of people voted to have closed down, was a mistake. The airport is now the only emergency services that we have to transport people from the Central Coast. Consider that. Go visit it. There's plenty of parking. And I park in that parking lot all the time. Just go check it out. While you're here, go to Avila, please. And the gem of Montano de Oro, right around the corner. Who would want to spoil that pristine view with what they're trying to do to commercialize my ocean where I fish? I want to continue to enjoy it. Please consider that. There was a lot of smart people I've heard in the last couple days. They talk about climate change. Maybe while they talk about climate change, they should also talk about the last four decades of manipulating the weather. We're all participating. Some of the money that you and I pay the government has gone into that. Let's not just say Let's get to the facts of what it really is, okay? What's happened across our country? If we weren't trying to manipulate the weather, maybe things would be different. Think about that, please. I pray for peace all over the world. If we could just share a little love and kindness with each other, our planet would be much better. Please consider the grassroots communities as big voices. Thank you.
Next is Kathy DePerry, followed by Debbie Highfield, followed by Sean Pringle, followed by Sean Metzler.
Is it on? Thank you for being here. I'm here to speak about the issue with Diablo Canyon. And I know you guys are all on the commission because you care about the ocean and the environment. Unfortunately, I've heard a couple politicians even today that make me feel like most decisions are made on monetary issues as opposed to really environmental and people that really care about the ocean. I've lived in San Luis County for over 40 years, and I opposed the nuclear power plant, and they opened it even though a mass majority of the public was against it. And as the Mothers for Peace have spoken and people have spoken today, there's been a lot of problems. They were just fined $43 million for a forced outage because of a technical issue. Probably the only reason they've been as safe as they have been is because the Mothers of Peace have been keeping their toes to the fire on every time there's an issue. Right now, there's a permit that's going to end, and they have a permit that didn't end that needs to be recertified or whatever. And I want to talk about the massive amounts of fish and wildlife that are killed because of the intake. Those are serious issues. And if you care about the ocean, you should be caring about that, not just making decisions on financial matters. As well, the embrittlement of Unit 1, they haven't tested it for over 20 years when they were supposed to. So their record isn't as great as some of these politicians are saying it is. And listening to other people talk about other issues like the wind and the riding of the ATVs on the beach, those are all concerns, and we shouldn't just be making the decisions on financial matters. I hope that some of you have integrity and have a conscience for future generations. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Debbie Highfill. I live in the evacuation zone for Diablo Canyon. Excuse me. And the expression is not safety second after tax money. I'm a teacher. I taught for San Luis Coastal. I get it that Diablo brings in a lot of tax money. But the embrittlement issue, which I hope you look at, it's on record. If we needed to shut down Unit 1, which was supposed to be shut down November last year, it is said that it is possible that it will explode because of the embrittlement, which means the integrity of the structure has eroded over so much time that it is now very dangerous. There are 13 known faults around Diablo. Two go under the plant and intersect. It is the worst place to put a nuclear reactor. It is the most dangerous one in the nation. When we had the anniversary of the Fukushima catastrophe, I had two young women in their 20s staying at my home. I asked them, we had a commemorative ceremony that the Mothers for Peace put on. I asked them, why did you come all this distance from Japan? And they looked at me and they said, we didn't know what else to do. This is important. You are our last hope, as far as I know, to prevent what could very much be similar to Fukushima with that seismic situation. Please take it seriously. It's important.
Thank you. Next is Sean Pringle, followed by Sean Metzler, followed by Rachel Wilson, and then Steve Ray.
Good morning, members of the Coastal Commission. My name is Sean Pringle. I'm a civil engineer at Diablo Canyon Power Plant. I've been there for about 9 years. I'm also a member of the San Luis Obispo community. I've been here for the past 33 years. I was born and raised here, and most of my family still lives here. And that's important because it means that I go to work every day looking out for the safety of my family and our fellow community and ensuring that our power plant continues to operate safely and reliably. Diablo Canyon provides electricity for roughly 4 million Californians. As it's been mentioned, it provides head of household jobs for about 1,300 families, and that doesn't include an even greater number during our refueling outages. It is the largest private employer in San Luis Obispo County, and we're also the largest clean energy producer in the state of California. We have a very strong environmental stewardship program. One of my friends is a diver at the power plant, and I'm always impressed by the photos she shows me of the very strong marine life that we have around our marina. I'm very proud to work out at Diablo Canyon, and I very much appreciate your time and consideration today, hearing from all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Sean Metzler, followed by Rachel Wilson and Steve Ray.
Good morning, everybody. I just thought this was going to be about Diablo Canyon talking, but I guess it's more things about it. That's fine. I live in Los Osos. I'm a 20-year Army Signal Corps veteran, and I really think that power is everything. I mean, there's no clean form of power. It just doesn't exist. There's just power that is less dirty. I mean, I've been to a meeting in Morro Bay High School about wind power off the coast. That was interesting. We need reliable power. And with the population and the community and everything that requires on power, which is literally everything, whether it's your home, your car, your business, whatever, it's security, it's stability, it's cost of quality of life. So sure, Diablo has faults, but it's reliable. And it doesn't require the wind or the sun, or you flip the switch, it works. You come home, your lights work. We need clean, reliable power. Gavin Newsom did extend the contract for it because it didn't produce air pollution, which is nice. And I'm not a big fan of other policies of his, but that's beside the point. But yeah, I think it's something that should stay open for as long as we can, do it safely and reliably. And like everyone else said before me, they got more knowledge about it than me. And everyone has good talking points, but we do need this for our community, for reliable power, for steady support. And I think it should stay open as long as it can do it safely and environmentally sound. And that's my thoughts. Have a nice day, everybody.
Thank you. Rachel Wilson, followed by Steve Ray. Those are the last two that are in person. The rest will be on Zoom.
Good morning. My name is Rachel Wilson. I'm from Cayucas. I've spoken a lot about Morro Bay, specifically the BESS plant. I would really like to welcome also the new commissioners. One of the number one things with the battery energy storage system is getting proper siting guidelines and proper safety guidelines before any structure is built. I am definitely for clean energy, but to be clean, it means that it has to be safe. And Moss Landing taught us a few things. Number one is Moss Landing did not have the proper testing equipment on site when it caught on fire. It did not have the hydrogen fluorine gas detectors. Those had to come in. So right now I'm working with a group working on promoting a moratorium in San Luis Obispo County until we can get proper safety siting guidelines. They need to be put in safe places. That's number one. But number two, proper safety guidelines. It turns out that in San Luis Obispo County, we have a new battery energy storage system in Napomo, yet our county safety personnel have not had the opportunity to develop the proper evacuation routes, to develop the proper emergency procedures. So, and one of the things in the moratorium we are going to add or requesting is that they have the proper safety equipment. Diablo Canyon has to have proper safety equipment. They have the proper evacuation drills and have all of these things ahead of time. Because green energy is not green unless it's safe. Plus, slowing it down just a bit, there's technology out there that is on the cusp of being better than our current systems. So anyway, right now, Morro Bay has a moratorium. We are asking San Luis Obispo County to have a moratorium. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Ray, and then our first Zoom speakers will be Gary Hedrick, Diane Edmonds, Mary Beth Brangin, and James Heddle.
Well, good morning, Chair Harmon, commissioners, staff, and other staff, and members of the public. I'm Steve Ray. First of all, I spared you having to listen to me yesterday by not addressing you. You're welcome. But today, I want to begin a conversation with you that will continue, and this is in the future, at future meetings. I hear a lot of squeaking here going on. Okay. This will continue in future meetings, and the topic is, yes, we can do both. And what I want to talk about is climate change and the causes and impacts of climate change. And as we go through this further conversation in the future, I want to talk about how, in my opinion, most of the people that come here and address you are all in understand and support wanting to do something about climate change. There are people out there that are exhorting drill, baby, drill, but most of us know where the future lies in clean energy and having to do something about it. So as we traverse down the future, I've heard a whole lot of comments recently about, can I stop the time there for a second there until we get this ironed out here? It's okay. Okay. Okay, we hear all the people that come in here are pretty much supporters of doing something about this. It's your job as the Coastal Commission, of course, to study its impacts, make sure that it doesn't impact, and anything that's done about it, what impacts there might be on the coastal resources and on the people and along the coast and the access to the coast. So as we go through, we'll talk about how we can find ways to come to the understanding that it is possible to totally support green energy and also to be opposed to some of the ways of going about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Gary Hedrick, followed by Diane Edmonds, Mary Beth Brangin. Gary Hedrick.
Hello. I'm not seeing my presentation. Is that available?
Yes. Give us a moment.
Sure.
There you go.
Thank you. My name's Gary Hedrick, co-founder of San Clemente Green, and we're down here at the San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station, and we have some concerns about what's been happening there lately. They misrepresented the condition of one of the cancers, number 72, so we requested that they can you go to the next slide, please? There we are. So they misrepresented the condition of cancer number 72. They claimed that all of the photos are company confidential, and SCE is not doing enough visual inspections. Next slide. I'm sorry, this seems fine. Anyway, we obtained photos of cancer number 72. And I can't read my notes. Oh, well. So this is the image of cancer number 72 that was provided in 2019, and you see the corrosion, which can lead to stress corrosion cracking. Next slide. This is a gouge in the same cancer number 72 on the other side, and it can lead to cancer failure also. Next. So instead of showing us the same angle of cancer number 72, they showed us a whole other view of that, and it's totally different. Next slide. You can see that it's nothing like the pictures I have. And if you go to the next slide, you'll see that their conclusion is the scratches are still bright and shiny. There's no evidence of corrosion or chloride-induced stress corrosion cracking precursor activity. Next slide. So they're using that as a justification to say everything's okay. Okay. Next speaker, I guess. Sorry, there seem to be technical difficulties. If I could have finished, that would be nice.
Just please finish your thoughts, sir.
Am I allowed to speak, or is there Mary
Beth? Just finish your thought.
Finish up? Thank you. We're in a race against time, and if SCE won't cooperate, we are sure to lose this race along with everything we love about our little village by the sea. So we're ready for the next speaker.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Next, Diane Edmonds.
Yes, I just wanted to say that we've got a lot of different very esteemed organizations here listed. The Sierra Club, Physicians for Social Responsibility, Samuel Lawrence Foundation, Nuclear Energy Information Services, Committee to Bridge the Gap, Mothers for Peace, Coalition for Nuclear Safety, Orange County Coast Keepers, Public Watchdogs, Ecological Options Network, all agree that this needs to be addressed, the findings of these inspections of the canisters. And they're also writing in to you, I believe. Go to the next slide, please. We've got a lot of attention that's been drawn to the canister issue, the nuclear waste. Surfer Magazine has put out two articles recently because of the Olympic surfing event that's going to be held at Lower Trestles, very close to the nuclear power plant. Orange County Register has been continuing excellent coverage about the nuclear waste issue at San Onofre. Next slide. Next slide, please. David Lochbaum, formerly with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and Union of Concerned Scientists, quoted in the OC Register saying, rather than just picking a couple of canisters, inspections should focus on the ones that we know are flawed. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Mary Beth Brangen.
Okay, so our request is, can you please give me the next slide? We want all photos, we want you, the commissioners, to demand that all the photos of the visual inspections are made public. This is something you can do under your purview. They should be inspected and re-inspected frequently. This is a common problem that is in all of the literature of stress corrosion cracking, and we've got 5/8-inch thick canisters, which don't take much to have a through wall crack. So we need to be on top of this. Next slide, please. So we have to add all of the canisters, actually, because they, and here's a message from a former San Onofre manager who was responsible for the canisters stored on site. Do you have that audio?
You line up the canister with the overpack, the big concrete pack, and you got this big ram that pushes the thing in. Okay? Now, if the canister is not properly aligned with the overpack, or is a little cockeyed, for lack of a better word, and you go push it in, it ain't going to go in. The ram keeps pushing. The canister picks up.
You're safe.
Up a gouge. The gouge starts.
Okay, so you can see how the gouge gets
okay. On the canister, and it goes ahead, and in the case of canister 19, it ripped the wall. Now, we looked at those gouges. They're pretty nasty. they were pretty huge. I don't know. Maybe it's okay, but the wall's a lot thinner in that particular canister. Now, the question is that the only one?
Thank you. Next is James Heddle. We haven't been able to promote you as a panelist. Please unmute yourself as an attendee. You should be able to unmute now. Go ahead, James.
Hello, I'm James Heddle with Mary Beth Brangen and Morgan Peterson. We have produced the film SOS, The San Onofre Syndrome. And in that film, we portray a recent chairman of your commission, Padilla, saying, as they approved the disastrous opinion to the option to go ahead with the waste on the beach at San Onofre, said, it is, pardon my language, a shitty deal, but we know what we have to do, but nevertheless, we're going to hold our nose and vote, or some words to that effect. And I hope you will not today hold your noses and vote in the light of all the counter indications that have been presented to you just this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Italia Salvage, followed by Peter McNamee, Jim Holtz, and Janet Rogers. Italia Salvage, give us a moment while we bring your presentation up. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Italia Salvaje with the Bayona Wetlands Land Trust. During the Coastal Commission's April 2024 meeting, our team appreciated your thoughtful handling of the issue of habitat stewardship at the Bayona Wetlands. Today, we are seeing the results, as in the picture shown. The healthy patches of green wetland facultative plants like alkali heath and alkali weed are becoming more noticeable. This is a perfect example of the progress that's possible when community advocates and agencies like the California Department of Fish and Wildlife work together. Can you show the next slide? Okay. Tomorrow, we're keeping that momentum going with our stewardship day in Area A from 9 to 11. Next slide, please. As noted in the flyer, everyone is welcome to help remove invasive plants and support the restoration of native habitat. We hope you'll come out or help spread the word. It's a chance to protect one of the last coastal wetlands in Los Angeles. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Peter McNamee, Jim Holtz, Janet Rogers. Peter McNamee, go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Peter McNamee. I'm a resident of Fort Bragg, California. For over 100 years, Fort Bragg's coastal headlands were used to mill old-growth trees into lumber. As the forest shrank, the massive timber mill covering one quarter of the land within the city of Fort Bragg became less and less profitable and was eventually closed. During its years of operation, the mill left a legacy of toxic chemical contamination covering more than 400 acres of coastal lands. Mendocino Railway, also known as the Skunk Train, purchased the contaminated mill site from Georgia Pacific. In 2021, the railway announced plans to build 500 units of residential tourist and commercial facilities on the headlands. Their plan also incorporated expanded train facilities for maintaining locomotives and rail cars, as well as building tracks along the coastal bluffs. At a recent public meeting of the Fort Bragg City Council, the public was informed of a plan by the railway titled the Iron Sherpa. Under this plan, Mendocino Railway intends to use a federally backed low-interest loan to develop a luxury 5-day hiking experience from Willits to Fort Bragg, with retrofitted train cars providing lodging each night, culminating with a last night stay in the retrofitted train cars parked on the outer track facing the ocean adjacent to Glass Beach. Mendocino Railway's plan exploits the coastal zone for its financial benefit at the expense of the public's coastal interest. I urge the Commission to bring all its authority to bear to halt the exploitation of California's coastal zone by Mendocino Railway. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Jim Holtz, Janet Rogers, and then a group from Scouting America, Camp Emerald Bay. Jim Holtz.
Good morning, Commissioners. Better Neighbors LA claims to be a coalition of advocates, but they are really the hotel lobby pushing to eliminate short-term rentals permanently. Yesterday, they cited the Barcelona STR ban, but that was about over-tourism, not about our issues. This very group pushes for a blanket STR ban in non-coastal cities. They cite paid hotel-funded research to back their biased narratives. But in coastal cities, where the Coastal Act blocks blanket STR bans, they pivot. They sell a hosted-only model as a compromise. But is it really? The hosted-only model eliminates the ability for families to stay together, cook, do laundry, and to enjoy the coast affordably under one roof. Ask yourselves, do you want little Johnny sleeping in the next room over from a stranger just because the host has to be on site? If you own an STR, do you want to be required to live in the same room as your renters? That's our goal, to make STRs undesirable for guests and unworkable for owners. In 2020, the Commission rejected Malibu's hosted-only proposal for this very reason, a policy that, quote, eliminates the very people we are here to protect. So what's changed? Maybe it was the Commission's research from a professor from this very group placed on the December 2023 housing panel. He pushed hosted-only like gospel, and the Commissioners at the time ate it up. Hosted-only is not balanced. It's a hotel-sponsored backdoor ban. Please don't fall for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Janet Rogers.
Yes, I have a slideshow.
Yes, give us a moment to bring it up.
Okay, thanks. I'm Janet Rogers, co-chair of the San Diego Embarcadero Coalition. Next slide. The port's PMPU-EIR is seriously flawed. I sent you the port's resolution to certify the PMPU. We expect you to do a much better job. The port pretends the Central Embarcadero isn't changing. It left out 46% of the port land and water. It is not comprehensive and piecemeals. Many categories only looked at construction and not operations. Next slide. VMT for the Embarcadero shows no impact for employment, although they plan to add 7 new hotels. Even without the seaport project, total impact on VMT is significant and unavoidable after mitigation. Next slide. The PMPU was approved with significant impacts on nearly every category, which cannot be mitigated. Will you certify this environmental disaster? Next slide. The port ignored all the environmental problems and certified with overriding consideration. The port thinks significant negative environmental impacts are okay as long as they look like they tried to minimize. Not good enough. Next slide. We don't agree with the port. We are the ones who will suffer from the unmitigated and significant impacts on this list. Our bay will suffer from environmental impacts to hydrology and water quality. Next slide. It is avoidable. Act on your equivalent EIR and make the port change course so the adverse environmental impacts are small and can be mitigated. Be stewards of the land and water and reduce the negative environmental impacts. You can save the public tide lands for the people. And also, thank you for voting to oppose SB 675. Thank you.
Thank you. And next is the group from Scouting America, Camp Emerald Bay. We're starting with Lee Harrison, and then we have 10 total with the group. We're only able to see 4 in the Zoom meeting, but I believe a lot of you are sharing devices. So gather around your devices. I'm going to list out the names in the order that we have, and then you'll go in that order. So Rosalind Violet Longhurst, Jeanette Buffalino, Snow Lam Hansen, Victoria Carceller, Fast Hannah, Wyatt Hawes, Austin Berry, Diego Takishita, and Nicholas Limbach. But go ahead, Lee Harrison.
Good morning. Thank you, commissioners. My name is Lee Harrison. I'm the CEO for Scouting America Los Angeles, and we operate Camp Emerald Bay on Catalina Island. This is our 101st year at the camp. And I'd like to give you a couple of statistics before I turn it over to the volunteers, the campers who wanted to share a little bit about their experiences who are currently at the camp right now. I'm actually at our mountain camp, and so I'm not able to be with them. Annually, we serve about 13,000 to 15,000 youth and adults every year in 3 different programs. This summer is our summer camp program. In the school year, we do an outdoor education program. And then we work with other community groups on the weekends. So we run 24/7 for about 9 to 10 months of the year. This year alone, we will have provided camperships or scholarships to over 1,000 youth. And some of them will be on the call today. And that will total about $400,000 that we've raised or either provided to the camp, to the campers for camperships. The reason why we're picking today as opposed to next month is that most of the students will be back in school, and we wanted to have a chance for the scouts to be able to share some of their experiences. Some of these will be youth, and some of these will be adults who've been coming for many, many years, and some are brand new to the camp. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker. Thank you very much.
All right. If Rosalind Violet Longhurst is with you, go ahead.
Rosalind is not here. She had to leave.
Okay. And then Jeanette Buffalino.
Hi, I'm Jeanette Buffalino, Scoutmaster of Troop 99 from Las Vegas, Nevada. Our troop has been coming to Camp Emerald Bay for the last 25 consecutive years. Our scouts love this camp because of all the water activities that they offer, the high adventure program that they offer. There's something here from the 11-year-olds to 17-year-olds. And it's just all the water, the boating, the kayaking, the scuba diving. We consider Camp Emerald Bay our home camp because we're from the desert and we don't have the water. And it just offers so much that the younger scouts can interact with the older scouts. The younger scouts work on the merit badges. The older scouts end up joining their rugged programs, which is canoeing around Catalina Island. They talk about that all the time. They love it. They bring it back. We do videos. We show it to our troop each year at our meetings. And they keep wanting to come back year after year because of this waterfront and everything they offer. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Snow Lam Hansen.
Snow's also unavailable.
Okay, thank you. Victoria Carceller.
Hi, thank you for having me. I am Camp Emerald Bay's Ranger Director, and I just wanted to talk about one of the programs that our rangers run for the troops that come here. We run what we call a War Canoe program, which is our overnight program. So our scouts get to hop on 9-person canoes and canoe out into the open ocean for 2 miles to Parsons Landing. While they're on the beach, they have the opportunity to go snorkeling, in a few different coves, to go hiking and see the beautiful west end of Catalina Island. They also have opportunities to work as a team as they're canoeing over in the canoes and cooking Dutch oven meals for dinner, as well as setting up dining flies out on the beach. This overnight trip is really amazing, and it gives scouts the opportunity to build their team working skills, their leadership skills, and it's a really amazing opportunity to see more of our island and to also have the opportunity to be out on the open ocean. And it's just really amazing. I really personally believe this is what scouting and camp is all about, pushing our scouts outside of their comfort zone and allowing them to grow and face adversity. And to be able to do that out on the open ocean is really amazing. Our Work Canoe program is one of the things that keeps people coming back year after year. It's a really unique opportunity, and it's a really amazing program that I'm very thankful I get to help run this year. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next, Fast Hannah.
Hi, happy Friday. My name is Selena Pham from Troop 65, and I would love to share me and my troop's experience here in Emerald Bay Camp. Because truly, this camp clearly stands out with the various activities, events, merit badges, and experiences other camps don't offer. Has really helped us earn a great amount of unique merit badges, not to mention the events that take place here, like the waterfront activities here in Catalina Waters. They have a bunch of badges such as sailing, motorboating, kayaking, canoeing, life-saving, and oceanography, just to name a few. And even a War Canoe Day, which is really a great experience for scouting. And as amazing as this camp is, something that our troops greatly appreciate is the campership Emerald Bay has offered us. Because without it, we were challenged to find a camp to attend this year with our huge troops. To conclude my appreciation, I would really like to thank all of Emerald Bay staff for the support they've demonstrated to us throughout our stay at this camp. It is a great definition of true scouting in BASA. It has significantly impacted our troops. Thank you, Commission, for your time and for our opportunity to speak, and all of Emerald Bay for a wonderful experience.
Thank you. Next is Wyatt Hawes.
I believe Wyatt is unavailable as well.
Okay, and then Austin Berry.
Hello, I'm Austin Berry. I'm from Troop 770. This is my troop's first time here at Emerald Bay, and we've been loving it, really. We live in Vegas, so we don't have any water merit badges that we can complete. So it's been a really good opportunity for all of our older scouts and newer scouts to finally be able to complete some water activities like small boat sailing, motor boating, canoeing, rowing, anything really of the water sport above. The War Canoe trip was really fun. I'm happy that this camp has more activities to do than some other camps that we've been to in the past years, because we most of the time it's just like merit badges, and then you're done for the day. This one has the War Canoe trip where you go to Parsons Beach, take a canoe out there. It's really fun. And then you can also do all the waterfront activities in your free time. It's a really nice camp, and it's a lot more clean than a lot of the other camps with their, like, trash system and everything. But all the activities and merit badges here are really amazing, and I'm very lucky to be able to come here with my troop to have all these water merit badges. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Diego Takeshita.
I don't believe he's here.
Okay, and then Nicholas Leinbach.
All right. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Nicholas Leinbach. I'm a volunteer here at Camp Emerald Bay on Catalina Island. I've been working with this camp off and on for almost the last 20 years now. I served on the camp staff when I was in my youth, and I still find that this place is my home. This island is my home. What I'd like to stress to the commissioners is the care and the love and the stewardship that everyone here, whether on staff at the camp or, you know, coming here for a week as a camper or a scouter or a student, we take the stewardship of this island very seriously. The waters here, we call this Camp Emerald Bay for a reason. The waters here are perfectly crystal green. It's a haven for scuba diving, snorkeling. I learned how to scuba dive here. I've taught kids how to swim in these very waters here. I've led hundreds of canoe trips from this space here. We care about this island. We care about the resources of Catalina Island. We care about making sure that this island and this camp stays not only for, you know, our past, but our future. We try and stress conservation here with our kids. We educate them on, you know, the beauty of this place, but the importance of maintaining this island. And more, you know, most importantly for some of these kids, you know, this is a fun spot to be. You know, we teach them so much. There are so many wonderful experiences for them to experience. And we appreciate everything the California Coastal Commission does in keeping our waterways clean and safe and open for all. And we hope that, you know, we can encourage more of that in the years to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us today. We have 7 speakers remaining that we're able to find. Next is Bruce Campbell, followed by Lauren Hansen, and then Adam Verdin. Bruce Campbell, I see you're on a phone. You should be able to unmute now.
Hi there, commissioners. I'm Bruce Campbell from Los Angeles. I call upon the California Coastal Commission to conduct a hearing and a thorough review as to whether PG&E meets the criteria to be issued a consistency determination and a coastal development permit in order to help extend the operating licenses for Diablo Canyon's nuclear reactors. This sensitive ecological area does not need an additional 20 years of mass impingement and entrainment of marine species where the Diablo Canyon facility meets the Pacific. This is beyond the 5 to 6 years granted by the state late last decade to continue operation, despite still having a largely banned once-through cooling system. I attended the Diablo waste discharge hearings at the Water Board in 1981 and 1982, so I'm well aware of the thermal, heavy metal, and some radioactive pollution discharges into the marine environment in relation to the operation of Diablo's reactors. PG&E wants this to sail under the radar so they can continue being largely unresponsive in regards to likely impacts of continued Diablo operations on marine life such as black abalone in the area. Given the history of the CCC related to San Onofre, I do not have great faith, but at least hold a hearing and do an analysis. If nuclear power facility discussions do not involve addressing spent fuel rod assemblies from high burn-up fuel, as well as difficulties in repackaging and transporting large, thin, overstuffed spent fuel canisters when the company's CEO admitted that the Holtec canister cannot be inspected, repackaged, or transported, yet they plan to do so anyway. Anyway, if you don't hear those discussions, you are being hoodwinked and distracted by that corporate welfare queen, the reckless and expensive nuclear industry. The public needs a hearing, please. By the way, just a few miles from Diablo Canyon is the Hosgre Fault, the largest subsidiary of the San Andreas Fault, which had at least a 7.3 quake in the Hosgre Fault zone on November 4th, 1927, west of Lompoc.
Thank you.
Thanks for your consideration.
Thank you. Lauren Hansen, Adam Verdin, Carol Hisasu. Lauren Hansen, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Harmon and commissioners. My name is Lauren Hansen. I serve as the board president of the Goleta Water District here in Santa Barbara County. I'm not speaking in that capacity today. I'm speaking as a private citizen. Like every other family in Santa Barbara County, my family lives downwind of Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant. We are very aware of that fact, and for us, it's a big concern. The continued operation of this outdated, very old facility is truly an existential risk for the Central Coast communities near it, and for all of us downwind. Supporters of this aging nuclear facility minimize the risks of it continuing to operate for up to 20 more years. They poo-poo the ongoing dangers to marine life, to the environment, and to human life. Those dangers are real, as you know, and cannot be eliminated just pretending they aren't there. Your commission will have the unique opportunity and responsibility to review critical elements of PG&E's continued coastal zone activities at this nuclear plant. When PG&E finally submits a complete application for what I believe is called the Coastal Zone Management Act permit, I urge you to consider their request with appropriate skepticism and give it your serious independent analysis. Your decision on this permit will likely be one of the most important ones the commission will ever make. So thank you for doing everything you can, as always, to protect our coast
and all the living creatures who call this area home.
Thank you. Next, Adam Verdin. Adam, I see that you're on a phone. You should be able to unmute now.
Hi there. My name, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Wonderful. Commissioners, good morning, and thank you very much for your service. My name is Adam Verdin, and I'm here to support the continued operation of Diablo Canyon Power Plant. As you know, the plant provides nearly 10% of California's electricity with zero carbon emissions. No other clean energy source today can reliably replace Diablo Canyon, not without significant new infrastructure that would impact the environment more than continuing to operate this existing and tightly regulated facility. Beyond clean energy, Diablo Canyon supports good-paying jobs in our area, vital public services, and the local economy as well here on the Central Coast. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Carol Hisasu, followed by Linda Kropp and Teresa Brady. Carol?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, good. I'm Carol Hisasue from Los Osos. In 2016, this commission ruled that PG&E must build cooling towers at Diablo Canyon to mitigate the harmful effects of its once-through cooling system. The very same day, PG&E announced that it would not renew its operating licenses beyond their term at the time and asked for an exemption, which you granted. This was based on Diablo operating for a maximum of another 9 years. For the past 9 years now, they've been operating in non-compliance with the Coastal Commission ruling, and they're applying for another 20-year license. The previous permits from the Commission expired for Unit 1 in November, last November. Unit 2's permits will end next month. If you allow them to operate without building cooling towers, it sends a message that if you're big and politically connected enough, basically do as you wish. There needs to be a hearing on this matter, as well as a thorough analysis of the environmental effects of Diablo's continued operation. Please consider that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Linda Kropp, but we seem to be having trouble promoting you in as a panelist. You should be able to unmute now. Okay, you're moving in as a panelist. Go ahead when you're ready.
Good morning. My name is Linda Kropp. I'm Chief Counsel of the Environmental Defense Center, speaking on behalf of Mothers for Peace regarding Diablo Canyon. I'm here to address the Commission's review of the extension of Diablo Canyon, and I will focus on two issues: the requirement for federal consistency review and the need for PG&E to apply for a coastal development permit. It has been well over a year since PG&E submitted a coastal zone consistency certification to the Commission. However, the application still remains incomplete. In addition, PG&E has not submitted an application for a coastal development permit. As you know, and as was just stated, the existing entitlements for Diablo Canyon have either expired, as in the case of Unit 1, or will expire next month for Unit 2. We therefore urge the Commission to schedule a hearing to review the status of the plant and consider taking timely enforcement action. The failure of PG&E to submit complete information should not stand in the way of ensuring compliance with the Coastal Act and the Coastal Zone Management Act. This review is important to protect public health and safety, environmental resources, and coastal access and recreation. As noted in several letters from Commission staff to PG&E, extension of operations at Diablo Canyon will impact marine resources due to the intake and discharge of seawater based on a waiver of the state's once-through cooling restrictions, dredging, seismic risks, wetlands and environmentally sensitive habitat, obstruction of commercial and recreational fishing, and public access. We look forward to resolution of this issue in a timely manner. Thank you for your consideration of this request.
Thank you. Next, Teresa Brady, Nancy Weiss, and then Jack Neff. Teresa Brady. It's Teresa, I see that you're in as a panelist. I do see a name, Terry, as well under the attendees list with the hand raised. Are you on that device as well? Teresa Brady. You should be able to unmute. Okay. The person under the name Terry. We're not hearing any sound coming out of the mic, but we see that you're unmuted. Okay, we're going to move on and come back in a second. Nancy Weiss. Nancy
Can
Weiss,
you hear me?
Okay, yeah. Now we can hear you. Go ahead, Teresa. Let's go ahead.
Okay, great. I will hang up my phone so it doesn't interfere. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Do you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Uh-oh. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry, I think I had the speakers off, so I couldn't hear you when I hung up my phone. Okay. So I wanted to thank you for your service to the people of California and marine life. Am I echoing? Okay, today I would like to ask for a full public review, public hearing, thorough analysis before any consideration of permits renewal for PG&E, especially concerning are the routine discharge of radioactive material, especially its effect on marine life, and the impact of and likelihood of seismic events on the chance of a radioactive accident. Thank you.
Thank you. Nancy Weiss. I see that they're just moving in now as a panelist. Nancy, when you're able to, please go ahead. There you go. Nancy, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Harmon and Commissioners. My name is Nancy Weiss. I'm a resident of Santa Barbara, one of the downwind communities of Diablo Canyon. I'm here to add my voice for a public hearing and thorough analysis of Diablo Canyon's request for extended operation and certainly any past violations. We need objective information, of course you do too, before we all know whether it's seismically safe, to continue, what the impacts might be on marine life, what it really means to store spent fuel rods, etc. I certainly believe it should not operate unless it's proven to be safe, and that onus should be on PG&E and, of course, expertise that could be offered to the commission. So again, thank you in advance for holding a formal hearing. Thanks again.
Thank you. Jack Neff.
Commissioner, Chair, Coastal Commission Chair and Coastal Commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I am joining the voices, Bruce Campbell, Teresa Brady, the previous speaker, calling for a hearing on Diablo Canyon before PG&E is given any additional benefit. Their work has been slipshod, their safety record horrible, design flaws clearly apparent in 45 years. I think that the Coastal Commission is maybe the critical line of defense in saving the California coast from these hot water discharges and radioactive effluent. PG&E has not been open and above board with their information, and their attempts at compliance are feeble. So I'm hoping the Coastal Commission will demand a hearing and look for hard data that will result in safety for Californians.
Thank you. And then we have five names that we weren't able to find in our Zoom list who I'm going to call your names, and if you hear your name, please raise your hand. John Gologli, Dr. Ruth Strauss, Robert Roy Vandehook, Marilyn Brown, Connor Filson. If you're on the phone, you can raise your hand by dialing star 9. Okay, I'm seeing no hands raised, Madam Chair.
Awesome. Thank you very much, and thank you to the public, as always, for sharing your perspective. I'd like to start just by asking Director Hucklebridge if she could give us a brief overview of where things are with Diablo and where the Commission is and our role in that process. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Excuse me for my voice. Because I don't have a voice, and because we have really experienced staff online, I'm going to turn it over to Cassidy Teufel to provide that update. Cassidy.
Thank you, Dr. Hucklebridge, and through the chair. Happy to provide that update. As you've heard this week, Diablo Canyon has two reactor units, one with an operating license from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission that extended until November of 2024, and the other that runs until the end of next month. Until 2022, PG&E had been planning to cease operating the power plant and begin decommissioning upon expiration of those licenses. Senate Bill 846, as you've heard, was enacted in 2022 and called on the establishment of new retirement dates of 2029 and 2030 for the reactor units. Consistent with that legislation, PG&E has spent the last few years seeking the necessary licenses and authorizations to continue plant operations, including from the Commission. We're currently pursuing review of a coastal development permit application for extended operations and a consistency certification for the 20-year license PG&E is seeking from the NRC. While the extended operation dates included in SB 846 were only 5 years past the plant's current license terms, because PG&E is seeking a new 20-year license from NRC, our federal consistency review is based on that duration of operations. As you heard on Wednesday from our colleagues at the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, both the Commission's Federal Consistency Review and the Water Board's Clean Water Act review would need to conclude before NRC could issue new operating licenses to PG&E. We've been working diligently to complete our review and had been targeting this July hearing to ensure a Commission decision prior to next month's license expiration date, but received a request recently from PG&E to instead target a later hearing date in order to continue efforts to come to a common understanding regarding the scope of the Commission's review and appropriate means of addressing the coastal resource impacts of continued operations, particularly those to the marine environment stemming from the daily entrainment of 2.5 billion gallons of seawater and associated marine life through the plant's cooling system. Given the progress we're making, as well as the additional time needed to complete ongoing tribal consultation, we've agreed to target a later hearing date. We're therefore looking to complete our review in the coming months and bring the project before the Commission later this year. I also wanted to note that because NRC has a complete application before them, they've granted an extension to PG&E that allows the plant to continue operating past the expiration date of the current licenses. So there's no risk of the plant ceasing operations during the course of these reviews. That concludes my update. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Teufel. Okay, does anyone have any questions around public comment? Okay. Commissioner Wilson.
Do we have anything coming to us about the Emerald Bay camp on Catalina? I was just wondering.
I'm not aware of anything coming before us. I was trying to figure out that very question, but did appreciate hearing all the amazing public comment about the camp, and seems like they have a really great operation going.
Yeah, I want to say my kid's fifth grade teacher went to that camp, and I would say his science program was amazing, and he's very inspired by it and talks about it all the time. So I'm just going to say it has impacted my family very indirectly, but great. I'm glad it's not coming to us in some form or fashion. Just keep rolling, guys. Just keep
not
rolling.
That I'm aware. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Hope those young public speakers got a badge out of joining us today. Okay, Commissioner Nodoff.
Well, I just wanted to thank the public for tracking the process at Oceana Dunes so carefully. And we're here in San Luis Obispo County. I hope that the county of San Luis Obispo heard the points that were made and that they will look at their LCP and update it accordingly.
Commissioner Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate all the public comment today. Just to staff's attention, can you address the Fort Bragg Mills cleanup and previous owner's responsibility for addressing those concerns?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner Jackson. The under the law, the Georgia Pacific is jointly and severally liable for cleaning up the mill site. But as part of a settlement for the eminent domain case that Mendocino Railway brought against Georgia Pacific to obtain the mill site land, there was an agreement that Mendocino Railway would take on those responsibilities on behalf of Georgia Pacific. So between those two entities, that's how they divided the responsibility. But under the law, technically Georgia Pacific is still a potentially responsible party and jointly and severally liable for it.
And if just a quick follow-up is, so is anything being done by the new owner to fulfill its obligation then under that agreement?
So it's my understanding that Mendocino Railway is working with the Department of Toxic Substances Control on mitigation and cleanup, but I am not aware of the status of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no other comments or questions, we will move on, and I believe that brings us to the consent calendar, the items that were removed to consent or item.
Absolutely. Item 6 provides for applications to be moved from the regular calendar to the consent calendar. There is one North Coast item that we are recommending be moved to consent, which is item 9A, the Humboldt County LCP amendment to update the county's sign regulations. Staff is not aware of any opposition, and we are recommending that the commission vote and approve this item.
Great, thank you. Are there any ex partes to report?
I have one ex parte to report. It's just that I got a call from Jennifer Cault of Humboldt Baykeeper yesterday, just saying that they are in agreement. So they think this is a good thing. So that's it.
Yeah. Thank you. Are there any public speakers on this item?
We have no speakers for this item.
Wonderful. Thank you. Do three or more commissioners object? Or excuse me, does anyone want to remove this item from the consent calendar?
I don't want to remove it, but I want to speak to it.
Please.
Okay. Do we do a motion on this? Can we do a motion? I want to move consent before I, and I'll speak to my motion.
Second.
All right. Thank you. All right. So I appreciate the commission. I'm just going to just a few things I want to say about this, which is I know it's an issue that is sort of a bit of a controversial one in Humboldt County, but I want to point out and put forward that I think it was around 1964 was the Federal Highway Beautifications Act that was done basically to address the highway signage that was just prolific across the United States. And it was not just prolific in commercial areas, but in scenic areas all over the United States. And so there was an actual act, a federal act, that was created to mitigate and reduce and seek to actually remove these structures from our public trust areas. And so sometime later in the 70s, California did the Outdoor Advertising Act to bolster that, which still exists today. And it's in its essence, it's to move these structures, billboards, from scenic areas and move them into commercial areas. That's kind of its goal. I'm just very summarizing, very, very, whatever. And so then a lot of jurisdictions, the counties and cities, created ordinances to confirm the non-conforming status of these structures so that eventually they could be moved out of those areas. And some counties, like Marin and other counties, did that a long time ago, and they've removed these structures from their scenic areas. Humboldt County is doing it today. So I, you know, we're getting there. One way or another, we're getting there. And I want to emphasize that folks across the state of California, if you have ordinances already in place that may have already been doing this, sometimes we forget that when we created, when we did these ordinances in the past, that we created these non-conforming status, it basically created a amortization period for removal of these structures in your community. And because that amortization period is 15 years or more, sometimes we forget that actually that reconstruction, or if they fall down, or even repairs on them, are actually nonconforming. And so you can actually seek to see the removal of these structures within your community by enforcement of your existing ordinances. And so I just want to point that out. In Humboldt County, and specifically in the coastal zone, we have many of these structures in public trust resources. They're actually in wetlands. They're in Humboldt Bay. San Francisco Bay also has structures that are in wetlands in Humboldt Bay, in San Francisco Bay. And there are also in other scenic areas. We have billboards in Humboldt County that are on state park lands, and as well as Fish and Wildlife in Del Norte County and other places. So they're nonconforming. They also sometimes have lights that are that cause problems with wildlife and other things. Anyways, I just want to thank this commission and I want to thank the staff, the North Coast staff, for actually modifying our ordinance to make it even better and stronger, considering legislation that was attempted this year to make rebuilding of these non-conforming structures to have no regulation on them whatsoever. And so that was pushed back. That doesn't mean it won't be attempted again, but this language will help Humboldt County defend ourselves from that. And I encourage other jurisdictions to really look at that, because billboard companies tend to use the Outdoor Advertising Act as a shield against local code and ordinances that try and regulate this, and not just code about where they should be, but also whether they're safely built and other things like that. So that was it. So my comments, thank you so much, you guys, for letting me do this. And again, if there are local jurisdictions across the state of California, they might want to look at this ordinance as an example that they may use. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Wilson. So we have a motion by Commissioner Wilson, a second by Commissioner Kelly, and we'll need to do a roll call vote because Vice Chair Hart is online.
Okay. Commissioner Escalante.
Of course, yes.
Escalante, yes. Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Hart, yes. Commissioner Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, yes. Commissioner Kelly?
Aye.
Kelly, yes. Commissioner Loewenberg?
Yes.
Loewenberg, yes. Commissioner Nothoff?
Aye.
Nothoff, yes. Commissioner Preciado?
Yes.
Preciado, yes. Commissioner Turnbull-Sanders?
Yes.
Turnbull-Sanders, yes. Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Wilson, yes. Chair Harmon?
Yes.
Harmon, yes. The vote is unanimous.
Great. Congratulations. The consent calendar is adopted. Now we'll move to item 7. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. That brings us to item 7 and the Deputy Director report for the Energy, Ocean Resources, and Federal Consistency Division. We have two negative determinations to report today, as well as two waivers for the Commission's consideration. Those waivers are for Southern California Edison to replace three generators at the Pebbly Beach Generating Station on Catalina Island, and for the removal of aquaculture equipment from a state aquaculture lease in Tomales Bay, Marin County, as part of a lease transfer and change in operator. I don't believe we have any speakers signed up for these items, so I'd ask whether three or more commissioners object to the waivers in the Deputy Director report.
Thank you, Mr. Teufel. Any ex partes? None. And confirming there are no speakers?
No speakers.
Great. Do three or more commissioners object to any of the items on the report? Seeing no objection, the commission concurs. Thank you very much. Now we will move to the North Coast District Deputy Director's report. Thank you.
Item 8 is the Deputy Director's report for the North Coast District. which includes 6 waivers, 1 immaterial amendment, and 1 permit extension for projects in the Humboldt County area. I would note that an additional item is being pulled from this report due to some newly raised concerns that we are working with the applicant to address. Therefore, immaterial amendment application 1-82-244A2 for the Charbonneau residence in Mendocino County is not being reported today and will be scheduled at a future hearing. For the other matters being reported to you today, staff is not aware of any opposition, and we are asking whether 3 or more commissioners object to any items in this report. We're available for questions.
Thank you. Any ex partes? Okay. Any public speakers?
No, we just have 1 available for questions.
Great. Thank you. Do 3 or more commissioners object to any item on the deputy director's report? Seeing no objections, the commission concurs. And I believe that brings us to the close of the July hearing. Special, as always, thanks to our staff and to our team for putting on this hearing and to the public for their participation. We will see you all next month. I don't remember where, but we will see
in Calabasas.
In Calabasas. Great. Thank you.